This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
It's that time of the season for giving and getting gifts and, of course, visiting family. A time for travel, celebration, and fun when children are filled with all kinds of joy and expectations. It's Christmas time when many claim Santa Claus is coming to town and the birth of Christ. Well, it's central to the reason for the season. But is this true? Was he really born on Christmas Day? The truth of the matter is, Christmas is actually a much older celebration. Its origins reach back thousands of years, linking up to the pagan legends of the unconquerable sun gods, historically known as Tammuz, Mithra, Saturn, and Baal, just to mention a few. It was the commemoration of the winter solstice, the return of the sun, with the Saturnalia celebration attached, and yes, all the assorted pleasures that came along with it. Clearly, the plain truth is the sun-worshipping Roman populace combined with the Roman government hijacked the Christian movement by seducing them from God's true holy days and Sabbath, and instead encouraged them to observe these familiar heathen customs they all knew so well, and of which resulted in misdirecting the early Christian church. This led them to embrace many of these idolatrous customs and traditions, which never were a part of the original teachings of the Church of God that Jesus Christ established. So the question is, should a Christian observe Christmas? That is what we'd like to explore on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Armor of God. I'd like to share with you today one of my favorite scriptures. I remember it from my youth because Mama would read it to us every December 24th. You find it in the book of Luke, the second chapter in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world could be taxed. Notice I'm not even looking at the text because I remember it so well, having it read every year until I guess I grew up into teen years. But Mama would read this. It's about the journey of Joseph and Mary to a place called Bethlehem. Picking up in verse 4, it says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed or to be enrolled with Mary, his espoused wife, not yet married, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should deliver. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." I look at that and I hear that, and you're probably thinking, well, boy, this is finally one of those Christian programs that's going to tell us the sanctity and the beauty of keeping Christmas. Au contraire, my friends, stay tuned because I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to present to you. The passage I read in Luke, the second chapter, and in addition to the passage in Matthew, are the only places in the entirety of the New Testament where you could find something that appears to be connected to something called Christmas. I do look for the word Christmas, and I don't find it. Not even Xmas. It's not there. So I puzzled myself. I said, now what if I did a program that bore the title, Should Christians Observe Christmas? Now you're probably thinking, well, makes sense that you would, because Christ's name is in Christmas, so it must mean that we should observe it, right? Well, let's see. Let's see what the Word of God says. Now, I do make this note. Luke, the writer of the passage I just read, was a man who wrote his book, or his missive, in a very historical way. He wrote it from a historian perspective. It's probably the best presentation that you can find on the issues of Christ's life up until the time he was resurrected and commissioned his disciples to do what he had commissioned them to do. But the only other place you're going to find any reference to this thing about the birth of Christ is over in Matthew. We'll come back to Luke here momentarily, but in Matthew, here's what we find in the first chapter. After the genealogy is given by Matthew, we find this word in the first chapter in verse 18, where it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, before they were married, before they had sex, and I'm not going into the whole litany about this spectacular birth, this special birth, and the impregnation of an unwed, non-sexually active woman. It was a miracle performed by God Almighty. But we read here, then her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately when he found she was pregnant. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, demanding and commanding him that this thing that is done in Mary is by the Holy Spirit. Wow, when I go back to when I was 2 1/2 and 3 and 4 and all those years, and Christmas time was coming and we had the tree and we had the songs and the music was going. Anybody can relate to that watching this presentation? Of course, it's all around us. I remember, in fact, those poems you had to learn when you were in elementary school, and the teacher would have you read some of the things that had been written about Christmas. For instance, Clement Clark Moore, who wrote that famous doctrine or dictum, I'll call it that, 'twas the night before Christmas when all through the house neither creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care and hope that St. Nicholas, what does he have to do with Christmas? I didn't read anything in those passages about St. Nicholas. Did you catch anything about St. Nicholas? Well, let's go back to Luke and see what we see here. There's an angelic announcement about his birth, beginning in verse 8. And then in verse 21, verse 15, shepherds visit. Well, that's marvelous. Oh, we're going to find out some things about this Christmas thing that are in the Bible but are not in the Bible because of people like Moore and people like the Knickerbocker Christmas written by Washington Irving. I'm going back in history, I realize, but I think that we should pay attention and take careful note. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, you will want to know more about that subject. Should Christians observe Christmas? Well, we're going to make you some offers that you can't refuse today. I would like for you to consider getting the CD, and I believe you're going to gain some great information to consider if you are walking with Jesus Christ. The booklet is entitled Facts You Should Know About Christmas. So we have two items. You can obtain all of this free of charge. We never charge for anything here at the Armor of God and the Church of God International. Simply dial 1-888-578-8791. That's 888-578-8791. Or you can choose another method of making your order by going to the website www.cgi.org. That's cgi.org to obtain these items and any material that we may have. In fact, you can kind of tune in for our webcasting every Saturday, and you can find that information out on the website. That's www.cgi.org. You're welcome to tune and to call and to contact us anytime. Christmas. Fascinating term. Christmas. Christ Mass. That's what it means. The Mass of Christ, which tells you that it was derived out of the Roman Catholic Church primarily. And the dominant influence of the Roman Catholic Church in Europe for many years, going all the way back to the year 325, somewhere in there. I think that was the Council of Nicaea that got together and under the auspices or the command of the Emperor of Rome, who was Constantine. And they came up with the notion that we should observe this Christmas thing because we are honoring Christ by doing so. Well, let us see if there is any honor in doing that. Back in Luke, there are shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. December 25th, no, they would not have been out in the field in the dead of winter with snow piled up. They would have been out of the domains of the winter impact. And so they would have had their sheep away from that circumstance. They would not have been watching them overnight. So this could not be in December. Oh, I don't know. Why not December? December 25th specifically. Why not? Well, because it's connected to something that is pretty ugly, pretty tainted, pretty, shall we say, disrespectful of the Creator. But we'll get to that in a moment. In addition, shepherds came to visit, and they did something very strange. They didn't have anything to bring, just themselves. We only find gifts being brought to the Christ child in Matthew, when the wise men, by the way, think about this. You think there were three wise men. Why? Because there were three kinds of gifts that they brought? No, it may have been more than that. They were just called the wise men. You can put a number, any number you want on it, but we have fallen into that idea that there were three of them because they had frankincense, myrrh, and gold as gifts. But isn't it odd that they would bring gifts to this child and not exchange them among themselves like we do today? Really? Yeah, we give gifts. If you don't give a gift on Christmas to somebody who you allegedly love, you got problems, my friend, in River City. Okay, so I don't know. They brought gifts to Jesus, but what gift have you given to Jesus lately? I know that tired old expression. Jesus is the reason for the season. No, he's not. Has nothing to do with it. I'm going to show you from the scripture why that is untrue. In our consideration of this reality that Christmas, as we read these passages, we don't find the word Christmas. We don't see any command to observe Christmas. I have gone from the Bible from beginning to end. From Matthew especially to the book of Revelation, I see no command of the Word of God or in the Word of God to observe Christmas. Why do we do it? Should Christians observe it? Well, let's continue. In the Old Testament, if you'll go back with me to the book of Deuteronomy, there's a passage in Deuteronomy that I think you might find interesting because it relates to the situation that Israel, the nation of Israel, was going to find itself in. These are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have a special relationship with the Creator called Elohim or Yahweh Elohim, if you will, Jesus, Lord God, Lord Jehovah, whatever, however you term it. They have a special relationship. So he's concerned in bringing them out of Egypt, out of their enslavement there in Egypt, to a promised land. And this is what he tells them in Deuteronomy. This is what is written by Moses. He has preserved this information for us, and God has preserved it beyond his care. Chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God, Lord your God of your fathers, gives you to possess all the days that you live upon the earth." That sounds like a long time. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess served their gods, upon the high mountains, upon the hills, and get this, and under every green tree. Could that possibly relate to an evergreen tree? Do we call it an evergreen tree because it's continually green? And isn't that the kind of tree we prefer in December to chop out of the woods, bring to our homes, deck it with silver and gold or other paraphernalia? That's related to paganism? Look at what it says in verse 3. And you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire, and you shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Well, it says in verse 4, you shall not do so unto the Lord your God. There are churches I know that used to have Christmas trees in their sanctuary. Now they do. Kind of slipped along the way. They would have it in the social hall, but they wouldn't bring it into the sanctuary. But now you find Christmas trees in sanctuaries throughout the world with alleged Christians. Should Christians observe Christmas? When I was 2.5 years old, I remember it like it was yesterday, the neighbors working in concert with my mother to try to get me and my younger sister to go to sleep because, you know, Christmas Eve is time to get the children to bed because St. Nicholas is coming. Good old St. Nick. Not Jesus is coming, but St. Nick. St. Nick, St. Nick. Oh, yes, that's right, that poem that I quoted earlier. You know, 'twas the night before Christmas and all through the house and so forth. It describes this St. Nicholas as a man whose cheeks were rosy. He was a little plump. He didn't get to the spa like he ought to. Running around the world in 24 hours, you'd think he'd be thin. But no, he was on the plump side. He had a beard, white beard. He was in a red suit. Boy, Coca-Cola made a lot of money off of that idea, didn't they? The old red suit bit. But Nicholas, before he was elevated to a sainthood in the Roman Catholic Church, was a bishop in a place called Myra. It's over in the Middle Eastern area. Now, it's so interesting about that man, he had a thing he did. He looked out for the well-being of other people, and as a result, it was thought that maybe St. Nicholas, when we made him a saint, would be a good candidate to portray this individual we call Santa Claus. That's how the people in a place called Denmark called him that. Yeah, that's what they called him, Santa Claus. And they came up with some ideas. Instead of socks that they would hang on the chimney with care and hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there, they use wooden shoes. That's an interesting notion. But they came up with the idea of all of the frivolity and all of the good times and all of the drinking, the wassailing and the drinking of eggnog and the kissing under the mistletoe, all those things that we know exist, popularized in many movies and popularized at the time of the year called December. Well, let's consider how badly we worship our Savior. When God tells the children of Israel, be careful about how you worship me because I don't want you worshiping me any old kind of way. Do not appropriate how other people worship me. You see that evergreen tree? It comes out of Egypt because there was a woman named Semiramis. She had a husband who happened to be her son named Nimrod. He died. But to keep the kingdom intact, she came up with an idea. We will tell the people that this tree came up, sprang up overnight, and it is the representation of Nimrod. That's pagan. That's idolatry. And so, should a Christian observe having a tree like that? The last tree I decorated, I was good at it. I think I was 17. 18 maybe 19, somewhere in that range. The year was 1964, so I guess I should know I was 18. The last time I decorated a tree, because I began to find out that that was not pleasing to our Creator. It wasn't pleasing to God. Now, lest you think I don't believe in Jesus Christ or the Church of God International, we firmly believe in Him. We adore Him, we worship Him, we honor Him, and we obey Him. So I've looked through the Bible to see if He had any command to observe Christmas or His birthday. I'll just take a moment here to pause for you to think about that. No, He didn't command that. Now, since He didn't command it, why do we do it? Why do we, as Christians, as followers of Christ, do something that He didn't ordain? The only thing you find in the New Testament that Jesus, not the only thing, but the major thing He commanded that we observe is something having to do with His death, not His birth. Isn't that interesting? Now, we think, yeah, we observe that at Easter time, but this Christmas thing is so good. I mean, think about the businesses we would affect if we didn't keep Christmas anymore. Think about all the millionaires who would not be millionaires anymore if we didn't go shopping, like, oh, somewhere around October. That's when they start advertising for Christmas. And we get it all, they get right into the core of our being, you know, they advertise this and your children will want this latest gadget, this new thing, and your mate, your wife, or your husband, they want this thing, or you got to take this trip. And I always have puzzled how it is that snow and Santa Claus and reindeer are so connected to this thing called Christmas when some parts of the world, it's summertime. Like down under, Australia, New Zealand, places like that, the southern part of South America and all, they don't have the snow and all of the accoutrements that we've become acclimatized to here in this Western world. So I suggest to you that maybe we need to rethink this thing, because Jesus, while He made us consider some things, take a look in John, the 13th chapter. This is about the time that Jesus is going to be taken out to His appointment with destiny and with death. He's going to go into oblivion, if you will, and a catastrophic circumstance of severe beating and destruction of His flesh. And it says in chapter 13 and verse 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. In the midst of the supper, He gets up and washes their feet. He shares a bread with them. He breaks bread. He gives them a cup of wine to savor. And He tells them that this represents, this bread represents My body. This blood represents My life that I'm going to pour out for you. And as a result, I want you to do this in commemoration of Me. Not My birthday, but My death day and My resurrection day." Now, I don't know what this will mean to you and how you will consider how you will make the adjustment necessary, because God Almighty is not pleased with us observing paganistic things and calling them Christian. You follow? We could go back through Deuteronomy, we could go through places, but this last thing to share with you is in Matthew, the 7th chapter, when Jesus challenges those people around Him, including the Pharisees in particular, as to those who proclaim to honor God with the things they do. Here's what He says. "Not everyone that says unto Me," this is chapter 7, verse 21, "Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of My Father which is in heaven." We've read some of what His will is, and what His will is that we not observe paganistic things and appropriate them to His worship. He goes on to say, "Many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name, and in Your name cast out demons, and in Your name done many wonderful works?" People do some great things at Christmas time for other people and helping folk. But I'm telling you, God is not pleased if we appropriate that which is inappropriate to the worship of Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, you probably have been stirred up enough today to want to go and examine this subject for yourself. That's why we're making you the offer of the material presented to you today. There are things that I didn't have enough time to go through to present to you, to share with you today on this subject, but I've scratched the surface just enough to let you know you maybe need to think about this a little bit. That's how it hit me back when I was 14, 15, and 16 as I was beginning to study and to consider. I realized, I'm going to have to make a change. I'm going to have to look at the man in the mirror and consider some of the things that I have done and things I must do. What about you? I hope that you will take time to implement your finger work at the keyboard or on your phone or writing to our home office, whatever it takes for you to get this material for your convenience. Now, I love the concept of giving and sharing with people. I love the idea of family get-togethers and having good food and conversation and camaraderie. I love all of that, but Christmas is not the only time you can do that. No, there are other times you can get together like that. Christmas time, December the 25th, is so pagan that I don't know anything else to tell you, but be careful. Now, we are greeting each other every time of the year with this notion, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Well, I don't want to leave you with that notion at all. I want you to have a merry life, not just simply a Merry Christmas, because quite frankly, most of the things that we do involving Christmas, God simply puts His fingers to His nose, if we could see Him, or turns away from this thing that we think honors Him. Jesus Christ is the Savior, and He is the one that we should be honoring. And we should honor Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. Till next time, I hope that you'll tune in to the next edition of The Armor of God. Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. Or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.